Get started. So I promise, Blineder, that by 12 we will be done today. I just wanted to. We started a sugya on Thursday, and here it is 5 days later, and we haven't done day two of the sugya. So I realize most of you are probably still holding in the sugya, but I haven't seen it in since Thursday. So let's try to get back into it and build off of where we left off in the sugya. Last time, all we did, if you recall, all we really did is we just went through the Gemara. We went through the different stages of the Gemara, and again, the sugya is about whether bedikos are required before and after tashmish. In general, whether they're required before and after tashmish, and we haven't even discussed what about the beginning of marriage versus later on. So we went through the seven steps of the sugya, really eight steps of the sugya, and the one step that got the most attention was the Gemara in Yud Beis Amud Beis, in Maseches Nida, where the Gemara at the very end of the parak, the Gemara raises the issue. The Gemara quotes a brisa, Tanu Rabbanan, that we have the Isha Shein Laveses Asur LeShamesh VeEinla LoKsuva VloPeros VloMuzonos VloBlaos VYotzi VloMaxi Olamis Tim Rameir. Rameir has the most astonishing shita in all of Shas, perhaps, and that is that an Isha Shein Laveses simply is not allowed to be married, that she's got to get off of the shidduch market, right? That would reverse the shidduch crisis, right? If the shidduch crisis is that there are too many girls and not enough guys, if you had such a shita, if we passed like Rameir, we'd have a reverse shidduch crisis. There would be too many guys, not enough girls on the market. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Omer, Mishameshes Mishnei Eidim, Heinif Suha, Hein Tiknuha. That she's Mishamish Bishnei Edim. She uses, there are two Bedika cloths. We'll have to see what that means. Heinev Suha Hein Tiknuha. So we have this very strong Machlokas Tanaim, where a mayor holds a woman without a Ves Kavua is too much of a risk, can't stay married. And the Gemara then goes on to explain that even if she's later Koveya Veset Midrabanan, we're not going to let her get married, because if the husband, the first husband, had to divorce her because she was Ein Leveses, and then she's Koveya Veset, he's going to say, I really wouldn't have divorced her had I known that she would be Koveya Veset, and then anyone she remarries is going to be, it's going to be suspect whether the first get was valid, and it's going to cause Mamzerus, it's going to be terrible. So even if she subsequently Koveya Veses, he can't remarry her for that reason. Rabbi Chanin ben Antigonus, you can stay married, but there are two bedikos that are required, and hein v'suha, hein tiknuha. Amar Rabbi Dor Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Chanin ben Antigonus, and that is the key line in the whole sugya. Halacha k'Rabbi Chanin ben Antigonus. Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Chanin ben Antigonus. Now, what we don't have clear in the Gemara is, are we talking about Asuka Bedaros? Are we talking about Eina Asuka Bedaros? Right? It's the first line in the entire sugya that actually tells us that a woman requires a bedika. Now, granted, it's a kula, but in the context of that brisa, because it's more makel than remeir is, but in the context of the sugya, it's a huge chumrah. Every other step of the sugya has been telling us, no bedika, it's gonna lipo no poresh, it's gonna be terrible, can't do a bedika. And now, here you have that Shmuel Pasner Klein Ben Antigonus, yes bedika. So who exactly is the yes bedika for? So we had two deos in Rashi, right? That's how, I think, how we left it. Two deos in Rashi of how to explain the Gemara's answer, because the Gemara had asked Iba Asuka Bitaros Hamra Shmuel Chadazimna. Right, if we're talking about a case of Asuka Bitaros, didn't Shmuel already tell me once that an Asuka Bitaros requires a bedika? So the Gemara gave an answer, right? So we had two understandings of the Gemara's answer. Rashi's, right, what was the Gemara's answer? The Gemara's answer, Iba Asuka Bitaros Hamra Shmuel Chadazimna, Iba Shemra Asuka Bitaros Hamra Kolbay Lobay Bedika. Gemara's answer, last words of the parak, Manta masniha lo masniha. Right? So what is going on in that last line of the Gemara? And this is where all the action is at. Right? What is going on in that last line of the Gemara? So Rashi had one explanation that in both cases Shmuel was saying the same thing. A woman who's asuka bataros requires bedika. Right? A woman who's ain't asuka bataros does not require bedika, which would mean for us, since women nowadays are not asuka bataros, Bedikos is simply not required. No bedikos. It's totally fine. Ena suka pataros. What about the fact that Shmuel's being repetitive? Yeah, in Achinami, there are two different Amarayim reporting what Shmuel said. Man de masniha, lo masniha. And that would mean, if that shot were correct, it would mean we would not require bedikos bichlal nowadays. The Ran asks on Rashi how you can say that Mechanir ben Antigonus is talking about asuka betaros, right? A woman who's asuka betaros, that she requires bedika. If Rav Meir says she's asur forever, that clearly cannot just be a chumah letaros, right? We pointed this out last time as well. If Rav Meir thinks she's asur forever, that can't just be for an asuka betaros, because then why would you asur her labayla forever? Meaning, I understand that you have a woman who's asuka betaros, so you're requiring betikos betaros. So what do we say? Once you're requiring betikos betaros, what else are you going to do? Okay, require betika labayla also. But you're going to say, oh, once I'm saying that she requires bedikos lataros, make her get divorced, labayla. What? The whole din is not really about a woman who's ain't asuka bataros. So you're going to take a woman who's ain't asuka bataros and make her get divorced? So the Ran finds that very, very difficult to say. We might say once a woman is doing bedikos for taros, she should do bedikos labayla. But it makes absolutely no sense to say that once she's doing bedikos lataros, she might as well be an aguna. Right, that's crazy. So that's the Ran's kasha. Also, he points out that it's just illogical to assume that Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Meir are on totally different planets as far as their shittos are concerned. That they're so far apart. That Rabbi Meir holds she's not allowed to be married, and Rabbi Chanina holds that if she's ain't asuka, she doesn't even need bedikos. That even bedikos are unnecessary. So that's difficult. That's the difficulty with the first pshat of Rashi. So Rashi, I don't remember if we discussed the Ran's own interpretation last time, but Rashi brings a second explanation that he rejects, that he doesn't like. Right? Rashi's second explanation is that there's a machlokas amarayim what Shmuel held. The Rehuda Amar Shmuel thinks that he holds like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, that an eina asuka betaros requires bedika, meaning step number 7 of the Gemara is talking about a woman who's not a suka betaros, and she requires bedika. Whereas Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiyah thinks that Shmuel held that an eina suka betaros does not require bedikos. So it would turn out that it's machlokas what Shmuel held for women nowadays. Do women nowadays require bedika? It's a machlokas between Shmuel and Shmuel, right? I mean, machlokas between different amoraim in the name of Shmuel. Does she require bedikos, or does she not require bedikos nowadays? That's how Rashi quotes a second explanation. Rashi rejects that because then it's a stira in Rabbi Yudam Shmuel. Because on Yud Beis on Beis, he's saying that Neina Asuka requires bedika. On Yud Alvam base, he said that the Mishnah that requires bedika, the Mishnah that requires bedika must be talking about asuka betaros. Why? Because if it were in asuka, there's no need for bedika, right? So it's a stira in Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel even. Okay, meaning if you're comfortable saying that you have a machlokas amoraim what Shmuel said, you might be comfortable saying that you have a machlokas amoraim what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said, right? Meaning, it's not crazy to assume. In general, we try to avoid that. There's a famous Rashi, Maseches Ksuvos, that tells us that we try to avoid a machlokas about what somebody said. Because Rashi writes in Maseches Ksuvos that, what is it, Daf Nun Vav or so? In Ksuvos, the long Rashi, and Naman Aleph over there, that even though we generally have a principle of Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, that can't hold true when you have a machlokas about what somebody said. Means we're arguing about a halacha. So both perspectives of the halacha could have value and truth to them depending on the approach that you take to the halacha. But if you're arguing about what somebody said, well, he just said one way or the other. So you can't apply El Veil Divrei Elokim Chayim, and therefore you always try to avoid such a machlokas. We'd always rather not say that. And that's along the lines of, you know, the idea in learning that you never want to make something about a machlokas and metzias. I think someone is going to be right, someone's going to be wrong when you have a machlokas and metzias. So a machlokas about what somebody said is a machlokas and metzias. When I was in Baruch Simon's shir, he used to always quote my early missions here, I was in Rav Baruch Zion, I'm sure you used to always quote from Rabbi Willig in the name of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, in the name of the Rav, in the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, in the name of Rav Chaim, that's where he said it every time, don't know why, but there's a tshuva in the Debrei Tzvi Rav about whether you have to do that. When you see like a Pesach tshuva quotes in Nedvi Yehuda, are you allowed to just say Nedvi Yehuda says? Or do you have to say, I saw in the Pesach tshuva, the Peshev Nedvi Yehuda? Okay, so however you like to say things, I guess, but I think Kulei Amalek, if you look up the Nedvi Yehuda, then you're allowed to quote the Nedvi Yehuda, even if the Pesach tshuva quotes the Nedvi Yehuda. But there are people that are machped about this, that someone told me just yesterday that they were in, one of the guys in the Kol, in the Torah Mitzvah Kol in Chicago, said that he was in Rav Aaron Silvershear in Karen Biavna, and he said, yeah, he used to quote you, because anyone, not just you, it was anyone that was ever in his shir that had a ha'ara or a kasha, you know, at any time, he'd write it in his notes, and the next time he taught that Masechta, he'd quote the Talmud from 15 years ago, who had that ha'ara. So that's a level of integrity that is probably not required. Where were we? Yeah, so machlokas and metzias. So if you have a machlokas and metzias, we try to avoid machlokas and metzias. We try to make every machlokas about a machlokas and halacha. But over here, like, okay, if we don't have no choice, we're going to say that there's a machlokas, what Shmuel said. So it could be you have a machlokas or what Shmuel said.
Isn't it hard for Shmuel? The Gemara quotes different amoras than Yeshua, but most statements are amor of Yehuda and Shmuel.
Right.
So, like, as this stop, the stop of the amora was quoting the conversation.
Right. Yeah. So you have to say it. The stop of the Gemara had two different. Reports of what Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel said. Right, meaning it's not the same. You're right. To say Rabbi Abba Yirmiyah versus Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, that's clear that it was two different people quoting it. And then you just have to say that one of them got it wrong, which we don't like to say anyway. But say that they're both Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, and we don't even know that it was a different Amora that was teaching, it's just some of the Gemara. Right, that's an extra step. Okay, so how do we paskin? So now that we've seen the Gemara, so let's say, and we've seen that Rashi has two ways of interpreting this Gemara. One way, again, and this is where we left it off last time. One way that Rashi interprets the Gemara is that the Gemara leaves it abundantly clear that no woman is going to require Bidika B'Zman Hazeh because she's no woman is a Suka B'Taharus. And the other way leaves it up to a machlokas between Shmuel and Shmuel, whether a woman who's Eina Suka B'Taharus requires Bidika. So how do we paskin? So Rabbeinu Chananel is quoted by all the Rishonim, by the Rush, the Ritva, the Rashba, to hold like the second approach of Rashi, which means it's machlokas whether a woman Zeina Suka B'Taharos requires Bidika, and that we paskin like the Shita, that Halach Rabbi Chanina, that, right, the last would be Amr Shmuel, that a woman Zeina Suka B'Taharos does require Bidika. Meaning, Yud Beis on Beis talking about Eina Suka B'Taharos, talking about our women, real women, Bizman Hazeh, and it's saying that they do require Bidika, and that's what we paskin like. That's what Rabbeinu Chananel is quoted by all the Rishonim is saying. The Rashba quotes that Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar holds the same way. A Ha'ara, an important Ha'ara, because it appears in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel over here, the Trumas Hadeshin and Chuvin Sim Reish Mem Zayin says, but these bedikos that she does are only for days that she might see dam on. But on a day that she definitely won't see dam, meaning, if let's say a woman doesn't have a vesed kavua, she sees sometimes 25 days later, sometimes 35 days later, sometimes 22 days or 27 days later, whatever. But she never ever sees less than 15 days later. She always has a flug of at least 15 days. Then bedikos during those 15 days are ineffective. That's an important thing to keep in mind. That's if you look in Siv Gimel and Shulchan Aruch, here in Kofei Vav, right? The Shulchan Aruch writes, I think it was Siv Gimel, Shulchan Aruch says, Isha she'ein ra b'pachos mi yud dalid yamin, Acher tvilasa, avala acher yudalad yomim ein lo keva ad yudalad yom dina kedini shishish lavesas. She's gonna have a din of an ishishish lavesas up until yudalad yom, and ishishish lavesas doesn't require bedikos. I should mention that. That's before Shulchan Aruch Sif Aleph, right? That an ishishish lavesas doesn't require bedikos. So that's gonna be important to keep in the back of our minds also. So what do we have so far? So we have Rabbeinu Chananel paskins that an isha she ein laveses She'ena suka pitaros, regular standard woman bizman hazeh requires bedikos. The Ramban, the Rashba, the Ran all quote from the Rif in the end of Ksuvas, where the Rif and Ksuvas Kafalf and Beis quotes that Shmuel passes like Rabbi Chanina, and since nowadays nobody is osik pitaros, he must hold like the second Shita in Rashi, because why would the Rif quote it? Meaning the Rif quotes things that are halacha lemaisa. So if the Rif is quoting that he passes that Shmuel passes like Rabbi Chanina, it must be that the Rif holds that Shmuel's psak like Rabbi Chanina is halacha lemaisa, which means not like the first day in Rashi, because the first day in Rashi held that that's only talking about someone who is asuka b'taros. That wouldn't be relevant for Zman Hazeh. So it must be that it's Eina Asuka B'taros. He's fasting like Rabbi Chanina for Nisha Sheina Asuka B'taros. The Rif, like Rabbi Nechananel, says that she requires B'digos. The Ramban, Rashba, Ran, all learned the Rambam, Nisir Bia, Perek Dalet, Halacha Tazayin. Dalet Hazayin Nisir Bia. The Rambam Milchus Ishus Parachafei Halacha Zayin. Ram Mishkav Moshe Parach Dalet Halacha Zayin. Also like the second day in Rashi, because he says that a woman that's in Levesas requires Bedikos Lefnei Tashmish and Achar Tashmish, and that the husband also has to be Bodik Achar Tashmish. So what do we have? We have Rabbi Chananel. We have the way the Rishonim understand the Rif, even though the Rif we'll have to see in much more detail soon. And we have Rambam, that also you require bedikos, even though out of the eight stages in the Gemara, seven of them were very clear that you don't need bedikos. Right? Only one of them seemed to imply that you do need bedikos. Clearly Rashi, right? Rashi rejected the second interpretation. Rashi held like his first interpretation, therefore clearly Rashi holds what? B'zman hazeh? No bedikos, right? Rashi holds no bedikos b'zman hazeh. The Ritva, the Tosfos Rid seem to agree. In fact, in Sefer HaTruma and Simit Sadi Dalit, remember we quoted Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer HaYashar, right? Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer HaYashar, we pointed out, Rashba quotes, holds like Rabbeinu Chananel, right? But Sefer HaTruma just points out that it's not so pashut. He points out Rabbeinu Tam learns the Gemara like Rabbeinu Chananel, but la halacha you would say she does not require bedikos, because Rabbeinu Chananel learns that it's a machlokas, right? That it's a machlokas whether she does or doesn't. Second day of Rashi was that it was a machlokas whether she does or doesn't. And since the requirement for bedikos is clearly only midrabanan, we'd say something rabanan makula. Wow. Okay. But then the Rif adds like a twist that we hadn't seen before. That didn't seem to appear in the Gemara at all. What's the twist of the Rif? What does he add? Three times. The three times somehow mean something. Right? The Rif Pasnik, she doesn't have a Vestas Kavua. She should be Bodekas the first three times after Tashmish. And once she does that and she hasn't seen Dam, the Chazaka of not seeing Dam is created. She will not need any further Bedikos. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, Simukuf Pevav Sif Beis, says the Shulchan Aruch, Imein, see Sif Aleph first. Sif Aleph is, Isha Shiesh Laveses Kavua, if she has a Ves Kavua, then we're fine. Ein Tzrich B'dik Klal, Lo Tnei Tashmash, Lo Acher Tashmash, Va'ad Rabba, Ein Lo Livdok B'fnei Baila B'shas Tashmash, Kedei Shul Yibonokfo. And not only you don't require bedikos, it's the wrong thing to do. It's going to discourage the husband. The Rambam is even more machmir than even Nisha Shiesh Leveses requires bedikos, him and her after Tashmish. And then the Rambam even adds, Hatznuos Botkos Atzmanaf Kodem Tashmish, that people who are extra machmir should even be bodek before Tashmish. But of course, the Rambam says, Vasvar Rishoni Ikr V'chein Nogu, that the Rambam is really, really, really a Das Yachid. And we assume, Ishish Yesh Leveses, you're not going to require any Bedika, V'chein Nogu, that's the minute. Comes along Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis, Imein Leveses Kavosh Shalosh Pam Marishonim, If a woman, imela ves kavua, kama, a woman does not have a ves kavua, shalosh pam rishonim, shrichan livdok, kodem tashmish, viachar tashmish, the first three times you need to do bedikos before and after tashmish, hu be'eid shalom, vihi be'eid shalom, each with their own bedikos cloth, vim huchzika ba'osam shalosh pa'amim, she'ein aroa da machmas tashmish, shuv ein atzrich bedikos cloth. And if you verify through those three times that there's no riyas da machmas tashmish, good, no more bedikos lo tnei tashmish lach tashmish. Ula Rambam Barash Kalzman Shein Laveses Tzrichi Hi Bedikol Li Olam Kodem Tashmish Achra Tashmish. And according to the Rambam and the Rosh, you have to be even more machmir than that, that there is no three times and then you're home free forever, always you can need a bedika, both before and after Tashmish. And the Rambam is going to require the husband will always have to do bedika. And then the Rambam adds Ve'ein Tzrichi Livdok Atzim Achra Kol Tashmish Tashmish Osim Balayla Achas. Oh, Bikula. If they have tashmish multiple times in one night, they don't have to do bedikos every time. They clean themselves off after each tashmish, and then they don't have to open and turn on the lights and look after each tashmish. And the next morning, they can look. In Shulchan Aruch, it's like there are two days, right? Either you need bedikos the first three times, or you need bedikos every single time, right? And the bedikos every single time is the shita of the Rif and the Rambam. So let's assume, shita of the Rosh and the Rambam. Shita of the Rif is the first three times. No one in Shulchan Aruch says you don't need bedikos at all. So remember we said last time that you look through the Gemaras and it sounds like no bedikos, no bedikos, no bedikos, no bedikos. Maybe bedika, no bedikos, no bedikos, no bedikos, right? Meaning like you have, it's clearly all pointing in one direction. Then you start going through Shulchan Aruch, and Rishonim, and Shulchan Aruch, and starts pointing all in the other direction. But yes, bedikos. Oh, the Rif is so makel only the first three times. What? Where does all this come from? We had a major shift, and then we have to see like, okay, so where does that leave us,
l'maisa? Is it true that you can set a chazaka by nothing happening?
So we'll get to that right now. Right? Let's try to understand Shitas HaRif over here. So first of all, what does the Rif actually say? So in Ksubis Kufalfan Bez, Rif brings the din of Shmuel, Halach Rechinim Ben Antigonus. So he holds that even a woman who's Eina Suka Petaros, because by virtue of the fact that the Rif brings it, it's got to be a woman that's Eina Suka Petaros. If she doesn't have a Veses, requires Bedika, because nowadays nobody's a Suka Petaros, and the Rif is saying that we pass in this way. And he explains, what was the Lashon? Hein psua, hein tiknuha. Right, that was the Lashon. Right, mishamesh p'shnei edim, hein psua, hein tiknuha. What does that mean, hein psua, hein tiknuha? So he says that it means that if she sees three times on her bedika cloths, then she's becheskas lios nida kol yameha. She's what we call roa machmas tashmish, which is what the next simon is about. A woman who's roa machmas tashmish can become a naguna. Meaning, if she has a medical condition, every time she has tashmish, she becomes a nida, no one is ever allowed to sleep with her because it's going to be in Issur Kares. So, three times that it happens, she's becheskas roa machmas tashmish. Hein nevsua, that's hein nevsua. Hein teknuha, if she doesn't see three times, meaning three times she doesn't see, dam, then she's muteres, and they don't have to get divorced. She already has a chazaka, that she's not going to see dam anymore. So there are two ways to understand the Rif that you find in major Rishonim. There's Ramban in the Melchamos over there in Ksuvas, and there's a Ravid in Balei Anefesh in Shar Hasfira Vabediga, Simen Gimel Sivkatun Ches. Shar Hasfira Vabediga, Simen Gimel Sivkatun Ches. Let's take one by one. The Ramban in the Melchamos explains, he understands the Shitas Rif like this. She needs to establish a chazaka that she's not roa machmas tashmish through three bedikos. Why? Because when you're dealing with a woman that has a vesis, we know when she's going to bleed. Right? She bleeds when she's expected to bleed. But a woman that doesn't have a vesis, at any point, you know, all of Hilchos Vestos, for the guys who are married, you're familiar with Hilchos Vestos a little bit. Right? The whole concept of Hilchos Vestos is that a woman does not have a veset, but I'm concerned she may be starting one. meaning she doesn't have a set pattern, but I don't know, maybe she's about to start a set pattern. So we try to find the most common patterns that she might be on en route to establishing. Oh, so 30 days is the average? Okay, so she might be starting to establish every 30 days. Her last two periods were 27 days apart. Okay, so I'm going to be concerned in 27 days from her last period, because she might be starting a pattern. She last saw on the 7th day of Chodesh Elul, so on the 7th day of Chodesh Tishrei, I'm going to be concerned, because she might be starting a pattern. So the way that Rabban basically understands is, you have a woman who doesn't have a Veses, we're worried that she might be establishing a Veses based on external factors. Meaning, sometimes a woman has a Veses that it's not based on timing, it's based on things that happen, experiences that she has. Things that she does, activities that she does. Every time she does cartwheels, she sees Dom. Right? So she should quit her gymnastics class. You know, something like that. Right? You know that this activity always brings on Dom. So either that, Ramban says, or maybe an Isha Shein Levesis, which is Choshish, that there's just a lot of Dom in there and it could come out during Tashmish. But the point is that the Tashmish might be what brings about the Dom. If she has a Veses, you're not concerned about this. So the whole point of doing the Bedikos is to, the way the Rif learns the Gemara, the whole point of doing the Bedikos is Dafka for Nisha She'in La Veses, where you're concerned that the Tashmish is going to bring about the Dam, and that's going to be her new Veses Kavua, is going to be to see Dam Machmas Tashmish. So the Ramban points out that the raya to the Rif is that, you know, the lashon that we use, hein ivsuha, didn't say hein kilkuluha, hein ivsuha. He says there's a big difference in kilkul and ivsuha. The word kilkul implies that she's tameya, chayav karban. Ivus would mean that she's forbidden to her husband and that they have to get divorced. Ivsuha means like a much bigger deal, something that's going to ruin her life. So he said it must be that we're talking about damach mastashmish, that it's going to ruin her life, and that's what it's all about. And that's why it doesn't say hein if I don't know if say hem, you know, tikune hem. It's if suha. Why if suha? Look, if it was about the concern, what else would it be about? What else would it be about? What else, why else would you need to be going to not for damach mastashmish? What else would be concerned about? Well, for tarus and labayla, meaning they're going to be violating the sunnita right now. That I want to make sure she does the bedikah before Tashmish so that the husband and wife not be together while she's in Nida. As far as Tumen Tahara is concerned, and as far as Isser Kares of Nida Labayla is concerned, it's the same for him as it is for her. So says Ramban, you know, it should not have said Ifsuha, Tiknuha, shouldn't be all about her. Ivu Sehem, Tikunehem, should be all about them. He and her are in the same boat. Elamai says in Ramban, it's not about the Isser Nida Labayla. This is about Roa Machmas Tashmish. This is about whether this woman is ever allowed to be married. As far as the Isser Nida Labayla, we wouldn't require any bedikos. But we're requiring bedikos because we're concerned about Nisha Shein Leveses, that she's going to establish a Veses Kavua that Tashmish brings about her needles. Ooh. So for that, you just need a chazaka. Chazaka three times. If it doesn't happen, you're good. If the concern was about that she's a needle by the chazaka, obviously is ridiculous. You know what I mean? Just because she wasn't a needle before she had tashmish today means she's not going to be a needle before she has tashmish in a week from now. Like, that's crazy. That doesn't make any sense. Right? Meaning if the bedikos are to make sure that she's not a nida at the time of Tashmish, then it makes no sense to establish any chazakos. The whole thing doesn't, right? But if it's about trying to show that she's not roa machmas Tashmish, then you understand that a chazak is going to work.
You can be commanded at any time of marriage to be married. Why is it only the first three times that works the
Tashmish? Oh, good. What if you're married for 10 years and you're just discovering this and you just learned about this for the first time? Can you start doing it now, right? L'chori, yes, right? Meaning, but why would you do it early in the marriage? Because you have to. Meaning, you want to make sure that because you're playing a game of risk, you know, not a game, a risky game, not like, you know, you're not conquering. Or you're playing a risky game until you establish these chazak, right? What?
It could happen later.
Lechora. So let's. Okay, that's how the Ramban understands it. That's his raya from the Lashonos. The Raivin in Bali HaNefesh writes that the Rif isn't explaining Rabbi Chanina and Arsog at all. This is not the way the Rif learned Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina is talking about Edim Kodem Lach Va'achar Tashmish, Bidika clause before and after Tashmish. And he's talking about a woman who's Asuka Bataros. The Rif is talking about Bezmanazesh She'ina Asuka Bataros. And he says, aside from Rabbi Chanina, meaning leaving Rabbi Chanina aside, she has to establish that she's not Roa Machmas Tashmish. The Gemara is speaking about Asuka Bataros, where Bidika's Gimel Pam is irrelevant. Right, will not exempt her from future bedikos. The Rif is just the, you know, using Rabbi Chanina as like a jumping off point to tell us what the halacha would be bizman hazeh, but it's not really what Rabbi Chanina is saying. It's not his interpretation of the Gemara, which means the Shach points out the Rif doesn't really require bedika labayla. The whole sugya is only about Asuka Bataros, like Rashi said. When we require bedikas to establish that she's not Roa Machmas Tashmish, the Shach is going to point out, we'll see soon, that's a different halacha. And it really has nothing to do with Baila. That has to do with Ksuba. That's a Din Hilchas Ksuba. You want to know if she's entitled to her Ksuba, so we have to make sure that she's not ruining the marriage. How can she demand the ksuba? Maybe you're the one that ruined the marriage. Maybe you're Roa Machmas Tashmish every time. No. We've already been established that I'm not Roa Machmas Tashmish. I didn't know this ksuba. And the Shach is going to point out, most Rishonim learn like Rashi. And the only reason they are gores the Rif, and they, you know, they paskin the Inid Bedikos three times, is because they say, oh, I'm so afraid to paskin against the Rif. But they don't really learn the sugya that way. And the Shach is therefore going to say, but if you learn like the Raivid, the Rif didn't learn the sugya that way either, so don't worry about it. Meaning all the Rishonim mislearned the sugya. Right? This is essentially, the Shach has a wild argument, right? Because if you look at the Rush, right? Why does the Rush say that you have to do bedikos? The Rush puts this whole, he goes on this whole rampage why you don't have to do bedikos, right? Here's what the Rif says. I have four kashas. 1, 2, 3, 4. The Rif rejected. And every shouldn't have to be because Ella. Remember the Rush? Anyone take a look at the Rush? Lomelani Levi to argue on Rabbeinu Chanan. And Rabbeinu Chanan says, Inibidi goes, what can I do? Right? So the Shach pulls like a little sleight of hand. Shach says, it's only because he didn't want to argue on the Rif, but the Rif never said it. That's not really why. You know, it was only because he didn't want to argue on Rabbeinu Chanan. So reinterpreting the Rif may not help, you know. If it was Rabbeinu Chananel called Dvar Divrei Kabbalah, you know, Rabbeinu Chananel commands unusual respect among the Rishonim. But that's what the Shach does. Maybe I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit. And Chavis Das makes this point, by the way, in some cut and base, that the real reason the Rosh is Machmir is not on account of the Rif, it's on account of Rabbeinu Chananel. And Rabbeinu Chananel requires Bedikos when? Always, right? Not just the first three times. The Rif is a kula. Rabbeinu Chananel requires Bedikos always. The Rush has four kashas on the Rif. If you took a look at the Rush in the very end, and the Beis Yosef and on try to really answer these kashas. But the Rush at the very end of the first parak. First of all, the Divrei Rav Alpha Salam Meshamesh B'Shnei Edim Dekam Rabbi Chanina Haynu La'achar Tashmish. Rabbi Chanina says you need to be Meshamesh B'Shnei Edim, but it's only about Dam Machmas Tashmish. So if it's only about Dam Machmas Tashmish, when are these Shnei Edim? They're both La'achar Tashmish. Echadol Ve'echadol. Why Shnei Edim? One for him, one for her. So my kapar kiba asuka petaru sama shmol chadazimna. My inyan had shmol l'dahacha. Shmol kai. Abishashi overs the Shamish's base, the Karmisha Suk Bataras Dim Gazbay Bidikas by Bidika Nami Libaila. What does the Gemara say? Oh, Shmuel, you already told me she requires a Bidika. not the way the Riff understood. The Riff is saying now that she requires a bedika after Tashmish. Shmuel previously told me she requires bedika lefnei Tashmish. So the Gemara's whole kasha, ha'amr Shmuel chadazimna, is not a kasha the way the Riff understood the Gemara. Again, the Ravid thinks that the Riff isn't explaining the Gemara really. But if you learn like the Ramban's understanding of the Riff, that the Riff was learning the Gemara this way, so then what's the Gemara's kasha? If Rechlinina is only speaking about Bedikas La'achat Tashmish, how can the Gemara ask, oh, if we're talking about a Sukkah B'Taro, Shmuel already said it. Shmuel's previous statement was about Bedikas before Tashmish. That since she requires a Bedikas La'achat Tashmish, we also throw in a Bedikas La'baila. Rabbi Chanina is speaking about Bedikas La'achat Tashmish. So the Beis Yosef already addresses this point. Beis Yosef answers this kasha. Right, you hear the kasha? I mean, totally different. It's not Homer Shmuel Chadazim. They're totally different statements. So Beis Yosef writes that no, a bedikah l'achat Tashmish is useless unless you also have bedikah l'fnei Tashmish. Why? Because in order to show that she's Ra'a Machmas Tashmish, you needed to know. You don't only need to know that she's a bedikah after that she's a nida after the Tashmish. You need to know what? That she wasn't a nida before. You're trying to prove that Tashmish made her a nida. So you need to know that she wasn't a nida before. How do you know she's not a nida before? The bedikah. So that's how the Beis Yosef understands that it's pashut that if Rabbi Chanina is going to require a bedikah l'achat Tashmish to establish that she's not Ra'a Machmas Tashmish, of course she needed a bedikah before. That's not so pashut, by the way. Right? Meaning, if a woman had no indication that she was a nida, she never had any hargasha, she never had. Meaning, she didn't think she was a nida. You don't like automatically assume that she was. So it's not so partial that you need a bedikah before just to establish a baseline. It could be the baseline is already established just by the fact that she never got, she never saw down. In fact, if you look at the Rambam, this is pointed out by the Chachmas Betzalel. Chachmas Betzalel is a big fat sefer on Maseches Nida called Chachmas Betzalel, Pischei Nida. It's from Rabbi Sal Ranchberg. And in Chachas Pesal, it points out that the Rambam in Isuri Bia, Paragdal Allah Zayin, holds that Nisha Shiesh Leveses needs a Bedika La'achar Tashmish, but not Lefnei Tashmish. Meaning the Rambam holds only Tznuos Lefnei Tashmish. So apparently they don't go hand in hand. Requiring a Bedika La'achar Tashmish when it comes to establishing machmas, Ria Machmas Tashmish does not necessarily mean that you also require before Tashmish. Okay, so that's the Rosh's first kasha. Yeah.
For Beis Yosef's answer, how does that still fit with words of Mara Patanel and Chazina if at the very least you raise some basis coming to add on the fact that she needs one afterwards?
Right, so what is it? Maybe it's that the first one is unnecessary?
This
is a, you know, it sounds like the first one is like
Yiddish
and Yishan. This is the second day, and this is teaching that also afterwards. That afterwards might be possibly
needed,
but. Right.
I mean, earlier statement that would be unnecessary.
Yeah, so I was saying,
the one that was unnecessary.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's saying it's a little hard to read that into the Gemara. It doesn't sound that way, right? That's only Chadazimna. Yeah.
So is the way that the Beit Yosef resolves his challenge, is that he's saying conceptually there's no problem, or is he also going farther and saying, actually the Riff meant both before and after Tashmish that she needs to be there?
He's saying the Riff had to be both before and after, right? Otherwise it doesn't work. Now the second kasha the Rosh asks, says the Rosh, V'od, my parach v'i b'she'ena suku b'taro sarmin kolabai lo b'ya b'dika. How can you say that if she's Eina Suku B'Taros, that we already said you don't need B'dikos for Nisha that's Eina Suku B'Taros? Rabbi Chanina, Nami Mo, the Shein Tzvich L'Bai L'B'dika Tamin, El Sholosh Pam, L'Schazik Shlotir Amach L'Stashmish. Rabbi Chanina is also saying, the way the Rif understands him, that she doesn't need B'dikos. It's only the first three times that she needs B'dikos. But as a rule, I mean, they're going to be married for, a long and, peaceful life together. There will be Tashmish many, 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 many times. It's only three times. They're not even going to remember it a year or two later. It's only going to be three times that she's going to require bedikos. So that's what it means when it said before that kol abayla lo baya bedika. Kol abayla in general lo baya bedika. Ushmuel utkamar ilav es lo baya lo baya bedika tamin kshena sukubataros al bas sukubataros baya bedika tamin. So that's kasha number two. What's the Gemara's question? If we say Shmuel is talking about Eina Asuka, how does he deal with Kol Abayla in Itzricha Bedika? Even Rav Chanina agrees that after three times, she doesn't need Bedika Labayla if she's not Asuka Betarus. And Shmuel's mother, that the first three, she is Chayeves to do Bedikas. He's just saying that if she's Eina Asuka, she won't always need a Bedika. She'll need Bedikas first three times, not always. And if she is a sukkah, she'll always need a bedika. If she's a sukkah batara, she'll always need a bedika. In a sukkah, not always. Beis Yosef points out that since they said kol abayla in a sukkah bedika, I mean, simple. Kol abayla in a sukkah bedika sounds like never. Not even the first three times. That's how he deals with that. Chacham Salal tries to show that the Ramban and the Ritva were on guard for this question. And that's why they explain the Gemara's question according to the Rif to be that previously we said Lebailein Sricha B'dika Afil Pamachas, because we didn't say that Shmuel was speaking about Eina Asuka and B'Shalosh Pam Harishonos. Okay, we'll leave that aside. Third Kasha, says the Rush. Va'otema. Why does it help that she had tashmish three times? Bishlamo matza dam gimel pam machatashmish ikul memrazuisha hulksakalios royal day ever tashmish. Look, seeing dam three times in a row, that tells me something. That tells me that the tashmish causes her to see dam. What was all concerned? How do we explain? Why are we worried about Rav Nachman's tashmish? Because she stayed in Levesis, and therefore what? She could see at any time. She could still see at any time. The Yishtein Levesis, Shasur L'Shamish, Hainim Shum Tekiva Shein L'Zman Kavua L'Riyasa, Cheshinon Shema Tifros Nida Tachtov. U'man Ma'olim Shum Shagim Upam Belo Dam Li'ola Mikol Amecha, Shat Adira, Kivin Shein Levesis. That's kasha number three. Simple answer to that kasha, no? We already said it. How did the Rambam explain the concern of the Rith, of requiring three times? Yeah, not that she could see at any time. That's part of it. But the other part of it is that since she doesn't have a Vesas Kavua, she might be establishing a Vesas Kavua for Bios. That every time she has Bia, it's a Veset. Three times of not seeing, that shows that it's not a vessel. And finally, va'od kasha, fourth kasha, de'ikra b'dika lo hiskera v'chanina, ramei rosa osa l'shamish afilu b'dika, dilma makalkalalei, rabbi chanina lo chayish dilma makalkalalei, mikol makom b'dika d'lufnei tashmish, leida shi tohra hi amatira l'shamish, v'hayo lo lahaskira. Why doesn't Rabbi Chanina mention the real point of dispute between him and Rameir? Namely that Rameir said she is Asura L'Shamesh even with a Bedika, and Rabbi Chanina allows with a Bedika Lefnei Tashmish, allows you to have a Bedika, to have Tashmish, if you do Bedika before. What's Rabbi Chanina's whole concern? In the future you might be a Ro Machmas Tashmish, so do Bedika afterwards to make sure you're not a Ro Machmas Tashmish. But that's not really the point of dispute between Rabbi Chanina and Rameir. Rameir held that an Isha Shein Levesis is just never allowed to have Tashmish. If Rabbi Chanina says, Labayla, don't worry about Labayla, she'll be fine Labayla. Just do Bedika and we'll be fine Labayla. His Chiddush is that I have all he talks about is the additional concern of Rav Nachman's Tashmish. But that's not what Rameir was talking about. Rameir was talking about, can she ever have tashmish in the first place? So how can you learn Rabbi Chanina to be saying that she'll take two Eidim, and the two Eidim are what? Her and him after tashmish. That's not the real point of dispute between Rabbi Chanina and Rameir. That's Rabbi Chanina's added chiddush. That's his new concern that he's bringing into the picture. But the real point of dispute between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Chanina is, does the bedikah before Tashmish help? So the Ramban in the Melchamos and Kesubos over there explains that the concern is not that she will simply bleed at any time, but that the Beis Yosef gives the same answer to that as he gave to the first question. What was the answer to the first question that Beis Yosef gave? If you're doing the bedikah alach or tashmish, in order to see that she's not real makos tashmish, poshut, you're requiring a bedikah lifnei tashmish. Say enochinami, you need shnei edim for him and for her, but the shnei edim only work if you had a bedikah before tashmish. And so the Beis Yosef understood that that approach of the Beis Yosef l'chora works here as well.
Isn't the third question really just saying that you can't make the chazaka, like Joni was saying before, that you can't make the chazaka based on not seeing anything? And that's, like, we were struggling with that before in Seder. We thought that it was a raya of what it brings of Shema Tifras Nid Tafta.
So I guess again, that the third question is that you can't make a chazaka of not seeing anything.
Yeah. So that doesn't really make sense. I mean, what we just answered was that, it's not that you can see any time, it's that you see Machmas Tashmish. But that's not what it's saying. It's saying that the fact that you can see any time and we don't establish a chazaka over there from not seeing, we use that same logic over here that you can't make a chazaka from not seeing something. So the answer, meaning it would still be a kasha of...
You can make a chazaka that you're not Ro Machmas Tashmish.
You can make a chazaka from not seeing something.
Yeah, that you're not Ro'a Machmas Tashmish. You just can't make a chazaka that you're not going to see at any time, because any time means any time. So the fact that I don't see three times doesn't mean I'm not going to see the fourth or fifth time.
But in that case, she's doing a bedikah. So would she see, if Shema Tifras Tachta, Nida Tachta, would she see that afterwards?
Yeah.
I mean, so why are we concerned? Meaning, what we just answered was that, it's only because of Machmas Tashmish and not because...
Right. Meaning, not seeing three times after Tashmish shows that Tashmish doesn't affect her. But not seeing at three random points of time during a month does not show that she's predictable. Right? Meaning, she's still unpredictable. She can still see Dam at any other time. Yeah, there will be lots of times that she doesn't see. The whole point is, and there will be other times that she does, and we just don't know when they are. And that it's always risky. So la halacha. So in Shulchan Aruch, it's very clear that if you want to be super maker, you can be maker like the Rit, and require only bedikos three times machos tashmish. Comes along the shach, and the shach, long shach over here, we'll at least try to hit some of the highlights. So the Shach writes, I understand why the Shulchan Aruch writes what he writes. Kenev, Poskim, the Ramban, Rashba, Rash, Ran, Shar Poskim, Divrei HaRif, they all understand the Rif this way. Like the second Shita in Rashi, which Rashi rejects, and like Rabbeinu Chananel, that she requires Bedikah Labayla and Shemesh Vedim Shalosh Primary Shonim. But he says, the Rash, Herich list or Divrei HaRif, the only reason the Rush couldn't pull the trigger is because he didn't want to go against Rabbeinu Chananel. And the same for many other Rishonim, the Rush ben the Ran, also lo maluliba lahakel neged the Rif, even though they really think that we should go against the Rif. Comes along the Shach, I don't get what's going on over here. How could they think that the Rif really wants to pass like Rabbi Chanina ben Tigenes? That Nish Shein Leves is going to need Bedika. In Cain, if that were really true, that she needs Bedikos? Lebaila? Eich kava Rif halacha zu b'ksubis of perak alman mizonis she'en l'shaych l'sham klal v'ayla l'kav b'ltz nidach kisham akama. The Rif could have put this in two places. He could have put it in Mesechus Ksuvus, or you can put it where it belongs, in Hilchus Nida and Shavuos. That's where he really brings Hilchus Nida. If this is a din in Hilchus Nida, it's in the wrong place. Va'oh! So first of all, is that always a compelling argument? It's an interesting study, right? I mean, can you be Medayik Halachos in the Rambam based on where the Rambam places things? So some people do, some people don't. It's like different approaches. can be medayik in I think Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva about this. He talks about this. Can be medayik in where the Shulchan Aruch places things. So he thinks no. He thinks where the Shulchan Aruch places things can't be medayik. Rav Asher Weiss thinks not at all. The Shulchan Aruch, you know, places things very often not based on the Yesod Hadin, but based on like what makes sense in the Seder Hayom. Like in Shulchan Aruch, the Aruch Chaim is going through the day, so we'll tell you what comes next. You know, where he's going through a certain experience and what the halachic limitations are in that experience. So we'll mention like what else comes up at that time, but not necessarily about the Yesod Hadin. But by the Rif, it should have been because, meaning the point is, where does it really belong? It belongs in Nida, right? There is no Rif in Nida, right? So where does it belong? It belongs where the Rif puts Hilchos Nida. He's going to misplace it anyway. So once he's choosing where to put it, he should have chosen, you know, the place where it's talking about Hilchos Nida. Va'od Shapir Shapir Sharif Miksuba Sof Perak Alman Yizonos Meshamesh Be'edim Shamish Pamacha Shtayim Shalosh Be'edim V'nimtzal Eid Shalom Oval Shalom. And then what happens? V'teitze b'lo k'suba. And if three times they were not nimtzadam, that's tikuneha. She's k'kol hanashim, meaning that she gets a k'suba. Oh, that's the riff. He's talking about if a woman is ra'ah makvasashvish, she's mukzekas, she's ra'ah makvasashvish, teitze b'lo k'suba. And if not, then she gets a ksuba. Ikra perushu shayich lininis in nida v'n kain haylo kavvuchs nida. If it was really about nida, it belongs in nida. Avala emes yaradarko, he goes on to say das arif kitas koloposkin tafil yishen leves lo baya bedika lo baya leklal lo lefnei atashmish lo achar atashmish olach ilo kas arif shumakom beferush titzricha bedika. The rif never says she needs bedikas. The rif just says if she wants a ksuba, she wants to be guaranteed a ksuba. Bedikos would be helpful to do that. She wants to lose a ksuba, bedikos would be helpful to do that. They don't want to, like, if she's going to lose a ksuba, bedikos will help her lose a ksuba. And therefore, the shach says, since, you know what happened over here? Rov Rishonim say she needs bedikos, Shulchan Aruch says she needs bedikos. Says the shach, what the shach essentially says, Rov Rishonim do not say she needs bedikos. Rov Rishonim were afraid, they were intimidated. But I could take away the intimidation by pulling the Rif back on our team. And once you realize that the Rif never requires bedikos, like that's always, you know, it's an interesting question. Rov Rishonim told you what they thought. They thought they knew how to learn the Rif, and they were afraid to paskin against him. Right? So the Shach says, I have so much respect for Rov Rishonim, we have to paskin like Rov Rishonim, except they didn't know how to learn the Rif, right? And that's why their conclusion was off. But they knew how to learn the Gemara, and the way they learned the Gemara was correct. How do we paskin? What's like the common practice? So this is another one of those why you versus the world kind of things. I think most of the time in our yeshiva, the our poskim, certainly Rav Willig, Rav Neuberger, recommend not doing any bedikos, even the first three times. I think in the Welt in general, they do recommend bedikos, but only after Dam Besulim is gone. Right? Meaning, once you know that Dam Besulim is over, and that whatever Dam is turning up is not Dam Besulim, then you do bedikos to make sure there's no Dam Achmastash, which then you muksuk, but three times, right? Like Shita Sarif, not like Shita Sarif, you know, not that you can meet forever, not like Rabbeinu Chananel, Shita Sarif. The ha'ara that our poskim have is that once you realize the Trumas Hadeshen that we quote in Sif Gimel, many of the women who do the three bedikos are probably not doing it right. Meaning, those three bedikos have to come at a time where she would require bedikos, right? We pass in Shulchan Aruch that if she never sees less than 14 days, right, then she doesn't require bedikos during that time. So any bedikos she does during that time wouldn't work. When does a woman typically do these bedikos? She becomes a nida. She 5 days, 7 days, we haven't learned right yet, but goes to the mikveh 12 days later, has tashmish, and what happens right after tashmish? Bedika, right? That's when she's going to do a bedika. No one sees dam in such a short interval of time, Sabbatika is not going to work anyway. So between Dam Basulim and the Trumas Hadeshen, most of the time that women do these bidikas, they're not doing it right anyway. And since they're not doing it right anyway, what's the point of doing it? So I think that's Rabbi Neuberger's argument not to do it. Meaning, not that we want a pasuk like the Shach, but Lemaisa, everyone's going to have to rely on the Shach anyhow. If I understood it correctly, I think that was his argument.
So later on, if it happens that they do have Tashrish at the right time, so to speak, then you should do it, because you shouldn't do a
pasuk? I think he thinks that it's not really so shaykh that it's going to happen. So anyway, so that's what many rely on the Shach. This is something that very often a Kala teacher will tell the Kala, that the chassan should ask his rebbe what he paskens, right? Because it's something that's yaduah, that it's a machlokas between, you know, the shach. And again, this is just another example, and we've had a few already, of the power of the shach, right? The power of the shach is unbelievable. You have the Feresh and Shulchan Aruch, you have all the Rishonim, everyone, the whole machlokas, bedika always, or just the first three times? Comes along the shach, never. Now, it's helpful that the entire sugya sounds like the Shach, right? And most of the Rishonim agree that the entire sugya sounds like the Shach. But Lemaisa, none of the Rishonim paskin like the Shach. Like the Shach, it took a little bit of of confidence for the Shach to say this way. Okay, I do want to. There's not much else in Kuf Pei Vav that needs to be looked at, so I do want to start moving on to Kuf Pei Zayin, Roa Machmas Tanash Mish, which thankfully is not so Nogea Lemaisa, but maybe in the next couple of days we'll work on Roa Machmas Tanash Mish and that's it. Okay? Have a great day, everybody. Thank you for accommodating the different shir today.